The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Real Racing USA. A little bit of technical difficulties there. We've got it ironed out.
Technical, non-technical difficulties.
Technically, non-technical. Yeah, I won't even say otherwise. But, yeah, we're here. And it's Tuesday night, so Real Racing USA. Live.
Live. Very live.
Coming off a big weekend, Jack. Big weekend of racing, but today the biggest news in sports: Brett Favre retires after 17 years.
You know, when I was putting his shirt on today, and I was sitting watching the NFL channel, you know, I realized something that just knocked me out. I'm old enough to be Brett Favre's father.
He's retiring.
I never realized it. And I always looked at Brett as like a contemporary, you know, and all of a sudden I just realized, man.
17 years, what a career. Never missed a start. Yep. Never missed a start as a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
There's people in sports, in racing, and in all kinds of sports that just stand out as stellar people, and Brett's absolutely right at the top of that.
Oh, no doubt about it. And there's so many rumors flying around about why he's retired and why he's doing this and why he's doing that. I think it's just time. I think he finally realized it's just time. He got to the mountaintop. How many times are you going to get to the NFL championship game, you know? And it may be a long time before he gets back again, and why risk it?
I'll tell you that so many things always stand out with that guy. But I'll tell you the night that on Monday Night Football, when after his father had died, and he came out with that.
I've never seen anything in sports like that ever.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Ever.
So what are we doing here tonight on Real Racing USA Live?
Well, now that the steam's starting to fade away, and We're all starting to calm down.
You know, before this show is done, I'm going to have to go on a little spiel about competition.
I think that would be good, man. I think that would be good. We got Dalton Zier on. Dalton's up there running. He's down here running the late models. Brent did a little bit of sprint car racing during the Winter Nationals up at Volusia. And Blake Lear up there running go-karts. Carting with the stars. We'll see what that's all about. Joe Lineberry, of course, from Trackside Tonight, and the announcer at Volusia Speedway Park. Jacob Gady.
The fastest man ever at Bristol Motor Speedway in a stock car.
In a stock car, not in a sprint car. In a stock car.
Right. Stock car.
We got Wayne Anderson going to be on the show later on this evening. He finished second in the Rattler up there in Alabama, L.A., Lower Alabama. Ken Kenny, we're going to have to start calling him the Wizard, man.
He just come out of the woodwork. He just called us just as we were getting ready to go on the air here. He called us. As a matter of fact, do we need to call him back?
Yeah, let's.
You got some news items over there?
Well, the news up there in Alabama, Grant Effinger won the Rattler. Wayne Anderson finished second. Corey Rubel third. Jason Hogan and Shane Sieg rounded out the top five. Our buddy Augie Grill was sixth. Jeff Choquette in the Guaranteed Concrete car finished in the top 10. He finished ninth. Big race up there. Dave Mader was 17th. Jeff Foltz was in it. Bubba Pollard, good field. 24 cars. 23 started the race. Of course, the big news up there at Ocala Speedway. We'll get into that a little bit later. But Shane Williams, big winner of the 40-lapper United Dirt Car Late Model Challenge Series debut race up there. That's going to be a big, big series. It's just unbelievable what that series is going to be. Big sprint car race down at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. You had him on the air last night, the winner of that race.
Jeff Van Dusen.
Yeah, that was an interesting interview. But now
we have Ken Kenny on the line.
With my new boss. My new boss, the wizard of dirt late model racing, Ken Kenny. Ken, how's it going tonight, brother?
It's going great, man. It's fantastic. I'm starting to catch that second wind for this weekend.
I told Jack, they interviewed me last night on Inside Florida Racing, and I said I'd finally caught my breath from Friday night.
Yeah, I tell you. I was kind of worn out with bike night. I went to leave the track and hit the old dreaded Waffle House, and we left there, and there wasn't a room from there to Sarasota. So when I got to Sarasota, I said, what's the point? And I left when the sun was coming up, and I got home when the sun was coming up again.
There you go, man. So what do you think your first race up there at Ocala Speedway?
Man, it was fantastic. I can't say enough. The host, you know, the owners, you know, of course, Mike and Angie, they were fabulous. Their staff, you guys were unreal. Rick, you and Scott, I mean, that was the best show I'd ever been a part of up close and personal. And me and Jack just kind of sat back in the tower a little bit and absorbed a lot of that. And I've had nothing but compliments about, you know, the tech. All the things that you hear all the negatives about it, you know, I've heard nothing but positive. I mean, we have had, you know, nothing is perfect, but that was about as good as I could expect it to ever go off on the first night. I was tickled to death.
I tell you what, I've never, ever announced a dirt race before, beyond that, a dirt late model race, and it's just nonstop action. And those guys, those particular guys that were out there Friday night, what an awesome show they put on. 3-4 wide, Ivan, Shane, Sean, all of them. What a great bunch of guys.
Yeah, it was awesome. And you know, it's really weird. I think our group, everybody, you know, gained the respect of these guys because, you know, a lot of people down here thought, well, you're not, you know, you did great and it was wonderful and, you know, we think it's a great thing, but are you going to get the Johnny Collins? Are you going to get, you know, Shane Williams? Are you going to get Mark White? Are you going to get them to come or are they all going to fade off? And obviously, we all know Ivan's got commitments other places, but it started before I ever left there, and true to their word, I've had calls all week. All those guys are going to be there, you know, and, you know, I've got so far, I just hung up after I talked to you guys earlier. I got a hold of Mark Whitener. I'm up to 30 cars, and I expected to have a low 20s count, and we're at 30 already. So, and I'm talking solid commitments that I spoke to.
30 cars at the Bull Ring down at New Hendry County Speedway this weekend. What a race it's going to be, Ken.
Yes, sir. I've got something going on, too, for the listeners of the show, because those are the true racing fans. What we're doing for any fans that want to get in the stands, until Friday, we're selling tickets for half price, $10 a piece. And you know, to see a show like that for 10 bucks, it, you know, you can't beat it. And you're welcome to give out my number. And, you know, we'll have Will call for them, you know, anybody that commits to buy, you know, come out, because we want to pack that place for the drivers and the area. You know, I want them to see how, you know, how excited the whole racing community is about this deal, you know.
Now, Ken, you know, last weekend we didn't do any qualifying. We did straight up heat races and stuff. We're going to be qualifying this weekend?
You know, obviously that's, you know, New Hendry County Speedway's never qualified. I'm going to call tomorrow and talk to Todd about getting the timing lights for there. What I announced up there was every single race this season we're going to qualify for, except for the first Ocala race and the first race here. You know, I'm going to try to change that. I'm going to make the calls tomorrow to see what I can, you know, bring, you know, come down with. But, you know, after speaking to the drivers, you know, a little bit, they didn't have a major problem with it, you know, for last weekend and this weekend. So it's iffy right now on that. You
what?
Know, I don't want to, you know, false bravado on there. I think it's probably going to be similar to what we did last weekend one more time.
What's the reason for qualifying versus not qualifying?
Well,
what are the ifs, ups, and downs?
I can tell you what the guys think of it. The faster cars don't want to draw a pill and start in the back of a heat race because they feel like they could be buried in the back of a heat, to where if they qualify, you know, they're going to start at the front of the heat race. That's, you know, I've never understood on dirt why it was so important versus asphalt. I mean, on asphalt, it's a given. You qualify, and that's where you generally start in the feature. But on dirt, you know, they qualify for the purpose of running a heat race, and, you know, they're pretty serious about it. So I won't question them too deep, but, you know, that's their point of it. The only thing that we've been beneficial, we've made such low car counts in the heat races that we haven't caught so much grief, you know. So I'm going to do the same thing this weekend. you know, I haven't talked to Evan Becton or his parents, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, he'll be added to this list as well as some others. So if we get up to, say, 32 to 36, we'll probably run 4-9 car heats, or we may run, you know, 5-8 car heats if we get, you know, get up any further, you know.
So do you still run the heats if you qualify, right?
That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
You still do. You just get a better starting spot in the
I got you.
But see, you know, I have to say that the way we ran it last weekend, I can't think of a better way to do it. The way we drew pills,
I'm telling you,
the way the whole thing went down with the heat races and everything, it couldn't have turned out better to me.
Did anybody? I mean, Rick, I'll ask you this. I'm not gonna put Ken on the spot. Yeah. But was there anybody that didn't make the race because of the heats or whatever that should have? But didn't.
No, I don't think anybody that should have made the race didn't make the race.
No, I don't either. I don't either. And, you know, I do have to call and explain, you know, the format and, you know, how the last couple guys got in, because there was a little bit of a question. And, you know, but once I've explained that to the people that have asked, it's, you know, they there's no more question. They totally understood, you know. And, you know, there was probably more. There was a few things that, you know, that came up that, you know, hey, they were gray areas that weren't in my rules, and I'm not talking about from a, you know, from a mechanical standpoint. They were a technical standpoint. You know, we closed those gaps this week already, you know.
Well, we had that magical car show up, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
but that didn't, you know, I mean, in all reality, Jack, there was more cars that didn't make the show that really should have been in the show. It was just that class of field. I mean, 45 cars. God, what a class of guys they were.
Yeah, I tell you, I think you'll see. I mean, it's weird too that, you know, because you're exactly right. There's some guys there that I guarantee you will make the show in Clewiston. I mean, Billy Costello was probably the first guy that comes to mind, and Shane Cohn. Those are the two guys that come to my mind right off the bat that, you know, didn't make the show that you know, I feel would make the show this weekend. You know what I mean? You know, Billy runs real strong on our track. Billy Costello, when he comes down from Lake City, and he was a little disappointed by, as you can imagine, but his attitude was great today. You know, and he's ready to give it a go again. So
Ken, when the cars went out on the track for the very first heat race of the very first race of your United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, and the first race back after 12, 15 years at Ocala, the very first turn of the very first heat race, what happened? And what was going through your mind?
Oh, what I remember happening in the very first heat was a little mishap between Evan Becton and
exactly.
And Horace, what I remember.
Right. Exactly.
And he ended up on top of the other one. Oh, I looked at you, I think, and I said, man, I didn't want to come out this way.
I said, it'll be okay.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I tell you, I was in awe of the quality of the people that participated in the show, not only from the drivers, but, you know, to have Doug Wildchild as the flagman, and to have you guys there, and like I said, Scott was fabulous, and just, you know, Tech, I can't say enough. I had nothing but good compliments all week about that. You know, Tommy Kelly and Steve Gill, and, you know, they're both experienced asphalt drivers, and they had a blast. My spotters, Tim Powers, Kit Brendel, Amy Wilson did an awesome job back there on the desk, and Tim's wife, you know, Debbie. You know, you know, the guys that lined up the cars, they were great. I had a lot of compliments about that, Trent and Thomas Scott. And so I'd like, you know, everybody was wonderful. And I think Mike and Angie were in awe of what went on, too. And, you know, it was exciting, man. It was just flat exciting. And you know, the biggest thing is, you know, in any sport race, you do not want to let down the following weekend. And I'm guarding against that so strong. That, you know, I'm starting on Tuesday being, you know, getting super fired up and making sure everything's in line, and, you know, because I don't want any letdowns after that great show.
Well, Ken, all I got to say is, and I've been doing this stuff for a long time, and I'm really proud to be part of this organization.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I'll tell you what, old cowboy, you know, Rob, he's, you know, he's been announcing down there, and he just was in awe of you and Scott McAllister, and he was tickled to death to, you know, take the receiver job, and, you know, do some interviews down in the pits. And you know, he said the same thing. He was so tickled to be part of this and to be part of it with such a class group of guys, you know. So.
And you got Rick Warren. I understand Rick gave me a call here a little while ago, and Rick Warren's going to be working with you a little bit.
Yes, sir. You know, to be honest, you know, other people have talked about it. He actually approached me, and you know, we need a photographer that, you know, can provide the photos to the fans and the drivers. And I know some of the individual tracks will have, you know, their real good photographers, but we need somebody to help promote our series, you know, and he seems like a great guy.
Ken, I've worked with Rick for the past 5 or 6 years very closely, and there's nobody better. And not only is he a good photographer, he knows what's going on out on that racetrack, and he knows what's going on in them pits. And he's all around. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, he just made this week's article just that much easier to write with all those pictures he sent me.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't meet him until this weekend, and he was a class act. You know, the two conversations I had with him there, and then again today. And you know, there's some new blood coming to the series this week. You know, there'll be, you know, the fans will be really thrilled. You know, of course, Jeff Chiquette's going to make his debut, and Jeff said he was sitting on pins and needles all weekend, and him and his dad kept going back and forth, said, man, you know where we should be this weekend. And they were all about Ocala. I think they were regretting not being there. In fact, I know they were regretting it. And,
yeah, he didn't finish so good up at the Rattlers, so he probably had his mind elsewhere.
Yeah, he said he had some issues with the car. He wasn't used to that particular, you know, chassis and that kind of thing. But he didn't complain too much. He just said he wished he'd been there, you know. And Brett Carlton ran the National 8-Mile Series last year. He was a top 14 contender. He'll be there. And Ryan Mitchell, I don't even think I got Ryan on this list. And I know I'm going to call his father and him in a little while. You know, he had a little heart procedure done. You know, Ryan is going to run for Rookie of the Year. And I expected big things from him in Ocala. And they went in and did a little procedure, and it was a little bit worse than what they thought. He had a little bit more done, but he's, you know, doctors cleared him to be in a car this coming weekend, and he's young and strong, you know. So, you know, he generally contends at East Bay Raceway Park in a number 5 car, and he'll be there. And then Perry Crow, you know, Jimmy Crow's son will be there. He's contacted me, and, you know, but there's quite a few others. I mean, there's, you know, it's been one after another that's called me that said Terry Wilds has been talking to me. He's not on my list from Vero, but he's, you know, talking about committing tonight or tomorrow, you know, one way or the other. And you know, so I think they're going to see a new group of guys to go along with a great group we had up there.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, if the two guys, Shane Williams and Ivan and Lloyd, if we get two guys put on another show like those two guys did in the closing laps, I mean, people will not believe the show that we're going to put on.
And Ken, we're going to be talking here to Shane Williams in just a few minutes. Matter of fact, we got a little surprise for Shane.
Yeah, we got a special surprise for Shane Williams.
I'll tell you what, Shane's on a roll, man. I enjoyed getting to know him. He's a fireball. He told me yesterday, he said, I wake up and I live it, I breathe it, I eat it, and I sleep it, and I believe that. And he's been a top notch everywhere he's gone this year, and he's got his act together right now. He's got his groove on, that's for sure. And I tell you, this weekend, one thing, too, I want to throw out there. You know, I've been watching the weather really, really, really heavy. And I've lived here for 30-plus years in this general area. And when we get these little fronts that come, you know, with a low with it, you know, I've been watching all our local stations down here. And they're totally predicting a little bit of rain Friday, a little bit Saturday morning, and that before noon, well before noon, it'll be gone. You know, so I don't want anybody to get scared of the weather, because we've really monitored that close. And, you know, I expect it to be good for this track more than anything, you know, because it tends to be a little dry slick. So it should be a benefit, this little bit of weather we might have.
Absolutely. It'll keep the dust down and the clay tacky.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ken. It's great talking to you. I will call you later in the week, and we'll get everything arranged. And I'll see you Saturday night.
Yes, sir. I'll see y'all in Clewiston.
See you, man.
Take care, guys.
All right. Hey, guys, a ball of fire, man. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. You can go to uniteddirtlatemodels.com, and you can check out the website. Got a hell of a schedule. Hendry County Speedway this week, and then our next race is next month at East Bay Raceway Park. So make sure you check us out at Florida, DirtLateModels.com or UnitedDirtLateModels.com. Jack's working the phone right now. A couple things coming up. Let's see. Got to congratulate Daniel Webster for winning the Brian Davidson Memorial this past weekend. Led from green to checkers for that one. And also want to congratulate Don and Sandy Nerone. Columbia Motorsports Park opens to standing room only crowd. Of course, you can check all this out on Carnac.com. On the front page of all the news from all around the state of Florida. And also, you can check racing news from all over the country. You go to the front page of Carnac.com, and you get Southern Short Tracks, and all the news from all over the country is on there.
Well, you know, Rick, we're running probably, just so folks know, we're running probably about 20, 25 minutes behind. We got started here late today because of some issues that we had to deal with. But later on the show, we are going to come back and talk some more about the Dirt Late Model deal. We're going to have Shane Williams on in an extended interview with Shane, and we actually are going to present him with a little bit of a surprise. And we're also going to talk in a few minutes here. We're going to talk with Dalton Zier. He's hanging on the line. But later in the show, we are going to talk to Blake Lear. He's up in North Carolina, and you're not going to believe who he's hanging out with. Blake's a young late model driver, sponsored by the Predators, the Orlando Predators Arena Football League.
And Real Racing USA.
And Real Racing USA. And we're going to talk to him in a little bit. We're going to talk to Joe Linebarrier from Volusia Motorsports Volusia Speedway Park. I still got to get that one right. Speedway Park. And Jacob Gady, fastest man ever in a stock car at.
Jacob.
At.
And Wayne Anderson.
Oh, yeah, Wayne.
Don't forget your buddy Wayne.
Wayne the Rattler, right? Yeah, he's out there getting a dirt car already. But. Right now, we're going to talk to welcome Dalton Zier back to Real Racing USA Live. How you doing, Dalton?
Good. How about yourself?
We're doing good, man. We live in Florida. How else are we going to be?
Yeah. The weather's great this time of the year.
Now, from what I understand, like last year, now you ran around, and for folks who don't know, Dalton's been racing late models and trucks and anything else with four wheels and maybe even two. But last year, you raced around the Midwest a bit in the some late model racing, and this year you're going to be sticking a little closer to home.
Yeah, that's the plan right now. We're going to a lot of things are up in the air for this coming year. We're actually talking about even running the ASA Midwest Touring Division, all 14 races, and that one's still kind of on the board. We're not really we're kind of leaning towards hanging around the Florida area this year and doing some dirt racing, road course racing, and who knows, Goodyear, trucks, I mean, whatever we can run.
So now you raced some ASA Midwest Series late model deal last year, right?
Yes, I did.
So tell us about that.
We actually ran a total of three races up there in a week period time. And two of them were like Saturday night events, but on Friday. They were up at Norway. And I tell you what, that was some pretty intense racing up there. The two Saturday nights they had B mains and racing to get into the show, and there were I think a little over 40 late models there for the Saturday night event. And then we went to Kaukauna, and this is with super late model motors and everything. But we brought our ASA type car. They gave us a weight break, and we felt pretty strong, felt like we were going to be pretty strong at the end of the night, but unfortunately we broke early in the race that kind of took us out of contention.
Now, the Midwest Tour, isn't that a super late model kind of deal?
Yeah, it's a super late model with a two-barrel carburetor, so it backs them up a little bit, but the crate motor still, is quite a bit underpowered, especially at the track we were at, which was a half-mile track. So,
have you considered any of this ASA Southeast Tour stuff?
We have looked at their schedule, but we kind of staying away from it right now just because we're afraid that the car count's going to be way down just because it's a new series starting out. But they also have a road course race that we're actually talking about, getting the car ready for that because we've done a little bit of road course racing and have seen that it's quite a bit of fun, and we think that we'd be very competitive, running on out there, so.
Yeah, Dalton, I see a picture on your website of you in a Can-Am car. Now, what's that like getting into one of those?
Oh, man, it feels like a go-kart.
Go-kart on steroids?
Yeah, exactly. Those things, they're a real cool car to drive because, I mean, they just squirt up the speed and they're real fast in the corners. They're a ball. I was really glad to be able to get into one of those cars, you know. Like a H pattern shifter, so I mean it's just like, you know, our late models and everything, and you sit in the center of the car, and I tell you what, they're a lot of fun to run. We run them with, like, you know, Daytona prototypes, where there was actually a Daytona prototype at Daytona with us, and I tell you what, we didn't have anything for him, but, you know, just to be out there running with them at Daytona was cool.
I bet, being on the big track. Now let's go on to your other love, sprint cars.
Sprint cars. We actually ran a dirt modified.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, modified.
Yeah. We ran that this Speed Weeks out at Volusia, and I tell you what, that was another huge learning experience. There were 96 modifieds almost every night out there at Volusia, and we learned a lot there. I mean, it was really competitive, and I mean, we ran a bunch of heat races and, you know, ran into some trouble with getting the car right and the driver learning how to drive. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, and we plan on doing some Saturday night racing out at Ocala and Volusia and Barberville and Putman was the other one.
And tell me about what the difference is between your pavement late model and climbing into that dirt modified.
That dirt modified, like when I run the dirt modified and I get it back into my late model, the late model actually feels like there's a lot less going on, you know, like I'm a lot smoother in the late model, and, you know, things happen a lot slower for, you know, compared, because I've ran asphalt my entire life. But in dirt, it's a lot of, you know, of course, a ton of body roll, and the feel of the car is drastically different. And the way that the car is set up, it has a Z-link and a 4-bar set up in it. So it's all about, you know, trying to keep the car all hiked up and everything. So what I learned was that, you know, you go way, way, way into the corner and just slam on the brakes, and then you just slam right back on the gas. And it took me a few nights to figure that out, because if you don't do that, then the car won't get through the ends at all. Hardly, you know, it barely gets through the ends. And yeah, I tell you, the funny thing about that was, the way I learned that was that I said, I was starting on the outside pole my very first night in my heat race, and I said, I'm going to go as far as this guy next to me, and I'll just lift when he lifts, and whatever happens, happens, right? So, I mean, there's huge differences, but still racing from either end applies. Like, you know, I can relate each thing to each other.
That's pretty good, man. I know in those dirt cars, you're constantly working the whole deal.
Yeah. There's a lot of throttle control on a dirt car.
So where are we at with, you know, like you haven't actually settled down into exactly what you're going to go after here this year, right? I mean, it's still a little bit up in the air. I mean, you could go and contend for a super late model championship, or you could run for a championship on dirt.
That is true. I think the plan is to stick to the asphalt a little bit more, and maybe do a little bit of dirt racing on our spare time, you know, but there's a lot of spare time if we're going to go after a individual series. You know, we plan on running a late model in something. We're talking about maybe running the Sunbelt series even, and even the ASA Midwest, you know. But those series only have 14 races, and, you know, we like to race almost every weekend. So we'll be doing a lot of everything.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, because there's, there's races, late model races in Florida at DeSoto Speedway and Charlotte, and at Citrus County and Orlando, Columbia. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you a question. I don't think I ever asked you this. You used to do this TV show.
Yes.
How'd you get that deal?
Oh.
Long story?
The show is called Race Scene TV. And, you know, we originally were just, I think we were talking to Roger Mealy, who was the main host of that show, about it. And when he was also doing a show called Fast Hour, I believe is what it was called, and it was on the truck series.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, he was the announcer for that, and we did a couple interviews with him, and a lot of things really clicked, and we had the shop, and he had the show, and he wanted to do the show, so I co-hosted with him, and it gave me the chance to get in front of a camera and get a lot of experience in talking and, you know, to a crowd or anything like that. And it's helped me a lot in, like, just after races, you know, how, like, the announcer will come down and do a speech with the
sure.
thing. And even this show, it makes it a lot easier for me to, talk on the show.
That's cool. You know, Rick, I was flipping channels one day, you know, and all of a sudden there's this, I know that kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It was a big learning experience. We had a lot of fun doing it. And, you know, through that show, we actually got met Bob Bowles with Circle Track Magazine.
Oh, there.
And that's how we've been able to, we had the shop, and, you know, he needed a place to take pictures for, you know, like a different article or whatever.
And he's the setup man, too, right?
Yeah, he's the tech editor.
Yeah, he wrote I think he has a book or something. Didn't he write a book?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I believe he also has a program that teaches you Roll Center and, you know, does Roll Center of the cars. And we've learned a ton from Bob Bowles. You know,
that's somebody we need to get, Rick.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a great person. I'm sure he'd love to do it, too.
Yeah, I forgot all about him. It's been a long time. I talked to him probably 7-8 years ago. We talked a couple of times. And, yeah, I hadn't heard that name in a while. That's cool.
He's a great guy.
So now look, where's your first race going to be? Have you got that pinned down?
No, we don't actually. Right now, the ASA Midwest Tour races at Elko, Minnesota, I believe it is, on April 19th, which is actually, you know, a possible snow day. So that's going to be fun.
Dalton, I don't mean to interrupt here, but I just have to tell you, Minnesota is up somewhere near the North Pole.
Yeah.
That's a long way from Florida, man.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I mean, like I said, the racing up there is, I mean, the racing in Florida, there's nothing quite like the racing in Florida. Everything's full out, but up there, it's probably a step back from that in the motor compartment. But there are, you know, 70 cars that show up to a show. So the car count's there.
Okay, I don't want to get you in trouble here. And you can always take the fifth.
Yeah.
But are the drivers and the racers in Florida in the late models, the super late models, are they rougher than elsewhere?
They are. They're going to be a little bit rougher, I guess. But it's so competitive in Florida. It's probably the reason for that.
And now, what political office are you running for?
Well, I got to, you know, cover myself up here.
That's right.
Yeah, you're going to be rolling out against Showcat and Schofield and Anderson.
I can't hardly deny that. The racing in Florida is rough.
Yeah. That's what people up north, I hear that a lot from people outside of Florida.
Don Arone told us that's why the northern guys won't come down
that's
here and
right.
race with
you. That's right.
You can't deny it. It's the way it is.
Yeah. There's two things about the southern guys that you hear from the northern guys. They're better cheaters and they're rougher racers. That's what we hear. I mean, you know, that's what they tell us.
Fritz Augustine told us the cheater part.
Yeah. And well, and the guy from the ASA late model series, he told us that too.
True.
Yeah.
Well, you learn something, you know, stay out of the wreck.
And no doubt.
That's right.
No doubt.
All right, well, I'll tell you what you do, man. When you're getting ready to roll out and go to your first race,
yeah,
give us a call.
We'll do.
We'll get you back on here and follow your season this year, man.
I appreciate the time, man.
All right.
Thank
Dalton
you.
Zier. Where are you living now, Dalton?
I still live in Florida, Port Orange, Florida.
Port Orange, Florida.
15 minutes from New Smyrna.
Oh, there you go. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Dalton.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Dalton Zier.
Z-E-H-R.
You know, now, he's one of the ones that started in Bobby Deal's deal, right?
That's right, Bobby Deal's truck series, yep. The fast truck series, right. That started back around 1998 or somewhere back in the last century.
Yep.
Yeah, people don't realize. I mean, Bobby Deal's got a lot of detractors, and, you know, and now I don't want to go into this competition thing right now, but he has a lot of detractors, but I'll tell you what. He's made a lot of race car drivers through his truck series.
I'm telling you. And it's Dalton Zier, DaltonZier.com race. No, it's just DaltonZier.com. DaltonZier.com for Dalton's website and all the things you want to know about Dalton Zier. Jack's back on the phone. What can we talk about? Oh, there was a NASCAR race this weekend. And I'll be damned if that backflipping Carl Edwards didn't do it again, man. Two in a row for Carl Edwards. Who'd have thought it? Forge finally had a good run out there at Las Vegas and a good run the week before, so we'll see what happens this weekend at the fast track at Atlanta. And let's see, what else? Oh, don't forget about Pandora Jewelers, a name you can trust since 1976. Proud sponsor of the Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Month.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to be, the announcement was actually made last night. Of course, a lot of our listeners wouldn't know that.
Uh-huh.
But the Pandora Driver of the Month was announced last night, and I guess we're going to get into that a little bit later.
We don't have too much later.
I'm telling you what. But right now we're going up to North Carolina, or down to North Carolina. Karting with the Stars. Blake Lear, how you doing?
Guys,
yeah, we're doing good, man. So are you out there karting with the Stars?
Yeah, I'm at a local indoor go kart track up here in Mooresville, and racing with some buddies of mine, Jeff Simpson, Joey Logano, and some other Gibbs workers. And we're just having a blast out here running some go karts.
Who's winning?
We're going back and forth, and on the times we kind of get together and we rough each other up.
Fun. Yeah, so now that you're up there in NASCAR world, how you like it?
I love it up here. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better in my life right now. It's every day there's something exciting going on about racing and in my racing career. And, you know, I'm either working on this or working on that or something new's coming up. It's just everything's just so exciting.
So go ahead, Rick. All right, so look, here's the deal. Blake, you've been driving late models. Now, you're driving late models up there, right?
Yep.
Late model stocks. When do you actually get started? It's still cold up there, isn't it? That's why you're indoors.
Yeah. Well, it's raining right now. It was actually a really nice day up here. It was about 70. But my first race is March 22nd at Hickory, and the Easter Bunny 150.
March 22nd at Hickory, the Easter Bunny 150. Wait, he sounds like he's in an auditorium, don't he?
Yeah, the Easter Bunny 150. Now, that's a race.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We talked to Sherry. Oh, my Lord, what is her name?
I don't remember. But Hickory, man. Have you had some laps on Hickory?
I've been to Hickory to look at the track. I've never had any laps down on there.
Well, I hate to tell you.
We're going to go test and get some good laps in. And I'm also proud to announce I'm racing the ASA South Series, South Motorsports, this year.
All right.
Oh, so you are going to do the Southeast Tour or the ASA Late Models?
The ASA Late Models South Series. First race is March 29th at Bronson.
Bronson Motor Speedway, just outside of Gainesville, Florida.
Yep, and we got Orlando Predators on the car for that one, and Hooters of Gainesville hopped on board, and up here for Hickory we got Hooters.
You're still waiting on them decals for Real Racing USA, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I called over there today. We should have them within the next few days. I get them up to you. But so, when did the decision come to race? This is a new decision, isn't it?
Yes, this is a new deal from the last time I talked to you guys. I told you we had some deals working, and everything fell in place. And we got this ASA ride this year. And we're always busy, and we're always looking for more. Hopefully, I might have a couple new announcements this year. We're working on some deals again to run in the Camping World Series and maybe some truck races this year. And hopefully a nationwide car in
Wow, moving right along, man. Moving up to North Carolina really helps, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'd suggest it to any racer.
So you said you've been to Hickory, but you haven't been there to race. Is that the deal?
That's the deal. I've been there to see the track, and I've never put any laps down on there myself.
Bring lots of tires.
Where's that graveyard, Rick?
Off of turn two or turn four.
Yeah, you got to go out there and see, check out the graveyard off turn two.
Yeah, we've talked to a few people that race up there, and they say that is the roughest surface out of probably any of them, including up there at By Flags.
Well, with the graveyard situation, they won't have anybody complaining that if you're running too late, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, that's funny. But that's place that is that is a place that is it is almost like a monument to stock car racing there at Hickory Motor Speedway.
One of the few that have survived.
When I first walked in there, I saw all the history that was there, and I was just, I was kind of shocked. And it was a really neat feeling to be around all the history that was at that track.
Yeah, no doubt. So now you got it. You're still doing the Predators, right?
Like I said, in Florida for the March 29th race at Bronson, they're going to be on the car. And then on March 14th, I'm doing the first Predators home game. We're driving the car out onto the field and getting out, doing a coin toss. And it's going to be a really neat deal. I'd suggest anybody that's around the area come watch the Predators play their first home game on March 14th.
Now, that's that Friday night. That's Friday night.
Right. Yep. That's a Friday night.
Yep. See, Rick was going to come to that too, but he can't now because he has to go announce a Sunbelt Series race. Don't you, Rick?
Yeah, I'll be in Orlando, but I won't be over there.
He has to go over there. That's. But yeah, hey, that's cool. And then, so, what are you doing anything special for the Bronson deal? Are you coming in early to do anything for that now?
Well, we got the Predators out there, and we got Hooters of Gainesville on board. We're going to have a couple Hooters girls out at the autograph session. It's going to be a really neat deal.
Man, I don't even want to go there. I mean, you got Hooters girls, you got Predators girls. What's with this?
Hold on 1 second, guys. I'm out there tearing it up.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah, I mean, I was saying, you got Hooters girls, you got Predators girls, you got all that going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really great to have these marketing partners on board, and it's fun, and it brings a lot of attention, and the fans love it. So makes me happy.
All right, man. I'll tell you what, we will. I'm not sure if I'm going to catch you over there at the Predators deal or not. I've got a lot of things going on, but we're definitely going to be in Bronson for the opener of the ASA Southern Division late model deal there at Bronson Motor Speedway. And that is the bull ring.
Yeah, absolutely. Come out there and, we're giving out the Hooters, but Gainesville is giving out some wings again. You come see my teammate Chad Pierce and I go for the win.
Oh, Chad is your teammate, huh?
All right.
We race for Fountain Motorsports, and Chad Pierce is my teammate, and, everything's going great. He's a great teammate. I love the, association that I'm with, and we're really excited for this upcoming season. We got really great cars, and we're going to go after it.
All right. Cool, man. I'll let you get back to your karting deal, and we'll have to get your buddy Joey Logano on here with us. We haven't talked to him in a while, too. We need to get him back on here, but we'll let you go now. We'll talk to you soon. Blake Lear.
Tear him up, Blake.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right, Rick. I'll tell you what. Why don't we squeeze in a quick break here?
All right.
And we're going to come back with we're trying to get things speeded up because we got started a little late.
Sped up.
I said speeded up.
Speeded up.
Sped up. Speeded. Sped.
Hurry up.
We're going to hurry the hell up.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Mr. Bathroom Stall Dirty Joke Writer.
Armed with your trusty marker, you do the impossible. Make an incredibly dirty place even dirtier.
Scribble it down now.
Your jokes make us pee our pants. Lucky for us, they're down around our ankles.
Yeah!
You answer our most vexing question. Whatever happened to the man from Nantucket?
Oh, that's a good one.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, old ruler of the rhyme. Because when we're looking for a good time, we call you.
Oh, Mr. Bathroom Stall Duty Joke Rider.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
Hi, this is Tate Pierce, the driver of the number 81 Chevy Monte Carlo Timbrink Underground Special, and we're live on Real Racing USA.
O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Shane, about midway through that race, Ivan, it really got on you. It looked like he was going to make the pass, but the longer the green flag stayed out, the better this race car got. It looked like it was really hooked up on the bottom of the track.
Yes, sir, running pretty good. It's good racing. The track came apart pretty bad, but I'm sure they'll get it fixed. Not a bad night. I'd like to thank Wells Brothers Farms, Stanton Mills Concrete.
Smith now trying to move around the outside of the 33 of Matthew. Here we go, battle for the top spot. Ivan and Lloyd in the 21. The Shane Williams in the 1X. Battle down the backstretch. And the 21 of Ivan and Lloyd will move into the top spot. Williams back to second. Williams battling back at the inside. Still side by side racing. Side by side as they go back into turn number one. Williams will regain the lead. But here comes Lloyd. Down the backstretch they go. Side by side again in turn number three. Coming up on lap traffic. Shane Williams will move back into the top spot.
Wow.
That was something else, Rick.
Yeah. And driver of the 1XXX from Barberville, Florida. Winner of the first ever United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series race. Let's hear it for Shane Williams. Shane,
right.
Great job Friday night, brother.
Thank you.
We were just playing. The announcer's call. You couldn't hear it where you were, but we were playing that to the listeners out there. That the announcer's call of the finish of the race. It was exciting, Shane.
It was a good race. Me and Ivan had a good time that night for sure.
I'll tell you what, man. You guys. The side-by-side racing that you guys were doing, the crowd was just up on their feet, roaring. It was an awesome job by both of you.
Yeah, it's a nice track. I think when they get all the bumps and everything figured out, that we run on a little bit, it's going to be a really good track to race on.
No doubt. You know, we talked about that in the winner's circle. You know, the only bad parts were down there on the inside of the turns, right?
Yeah, well, right in the middle of the groove, it seemed like they were rutted out pretty bad. But, I mean, any track that you have, it's got new clay on it. You're going to have that for a little while, any one of them.
Well, you know, I went out there to do driver introductions, but it was really, really a tacky surface. I was really surprised because when I first got out there, it almost looked like sand.
Yeah, it's a really tacky surface. I mean, it's a really good clay. I mean, you look at it, it's almost like a white clay.
Uh-huh.
I think they must have dug it out of some kind of lime rock pit, but there's no rocks in it or anything like that. But, I mean, it's got a really good surface to race on. It gets slicked up, too. I mean, it's going to make for good racing.
Yeah, there's plenty of 3 and 4 wide racing, especially there coming out of turn number 4.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Ivan had told me that you and him and Paul Rogers had all raced on that track before when it was dirt.
Yeah, that was actually the first track I've ever raced on, first time.
Really?
Yep. That was actually the first time I ever raced was on that track. Actually, when James Powell, he helped me out get started in racing, and that was the first when he owned it, and they kind of helped me out, and that's where I first time I ever raced.
Were you racing hobby stocks or something like that?
Hobby stock was the first thing I started out in. Yep.
Now, Shane, you've had one hell of a February.
Yeah, it's been a good one.
Yeah.
So what all have you won this month, Shane?
We won 3 races up in Golden Isles, won Lake City, and, of course, won that race up there. And just been winning, you know, quite a bit. I mean, we go to the track, try to run in the top 5. That's our goal. You know, if we can do better than that, you know, that's our goal. We'll go to the track, try to run in the top 5, make enough money to go back and run some more.
Well, up there at Golden Isles, I mean, that was what was that? You won 3 races in that 1 week.
Yeah, we won 3 out of the 4 of them, and we run second in that the 4th one. Just you know, you don't always have luck like that. I mean, but we, you know, fortunate, and God willing, it was good to us. But we got the car hooked up good. We got a good team. We're all working together, and I think that's a big part of it.
Well, you know, Shane, Rick, should I go into this a little bit now?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Shane, every month here on actually on our Monday night show, which is Inside Florida Racing, the Inside Florida Racing crew, along with Pandora Jewelers over in Deerfield Beach, presents the Florida Pandora Jewelers Florida Driver of the Month every month, and that's a thing that was started this year, and in January, Jeff Chouquet won the award. And then, of course, at the end of the year, there will be a Pandora Jewelers Driver of the Year, and a pretty substantial reward is awaiting for that driver. But, you know, there was a lot of good people who put on a lot of good racing in February. I mean, Billy
Moyer,
Jimmy Blewett,
a ton and ton of racers. We all got together, we talked about it, and at all of them, you impressed us most. So, brother, you are our Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Month.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And yeah.
Got a nice plaque that's going to be coming your way. And like you said, you know, you'll be in the mix for that big Driver of the Year at the end of the year.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, we get input from all the media writers around the state, and input from promoters and whatnot, and it's a tough decision, but you were the guy for this month, and congratulations, man.
It's awesome, you know, to get something like that, doing what you love the most, you know.
Yeah. So growing up in the shadow, I mean, how long have you lived in Florida? You've been in Florida your whole life?
Yes, sir.
So you're a Floridian?
Yes, sir.
All right. So now you started over at Ocala. What prompted you to get behind the wheel of a car?
James Powell pretty much helped me out get started in racing. I mean, he did pretty much everything for my younger years and helped me get going. And he put me in a couple rides, put me in some asphalt stuff. And he just was a really, really big help for me. And my dad was a big help, too. They had some hobby stocks. I really never could afford to get in a late model until recently. Steve Lade had a couple late models, and he put me in one, and he's kind of really footed the bill to get me into this car with me and my partner, Scott Mary. And we've kind of put every bit of money we could to get together, and really this is the first time I've had a chance to really get in a dirt late model, and that's really what we love.
Well, this has got to be a big deal for you, being able to run in the Powell Memorial this year.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, James has been a real good, his whole family's been good to me, and we've been friends all our life, and it's going to be a big deal to me.
I got to ask you a little bit now. What do you think about Ken Kenny's new deal?
I really like it so far. I mean, he bends over backwards to help everybody, and that's an important thing for any promoter, you know. And I mean, of course, you can't make everybody happy all the time, and that's important in racing to understand that. But he's went out of his way to do things for people, and that's a good deal. You know, it's hard to find that.
It's a pretty good show of cars there Friday night.
It was a real good show of cars, you know, and I don't think they got like a 3 different motor deal for all the cars. big motor, and they got weight penalties and stuff like that. And I don't think it hurt a bit either way. You know, I don't think one car shined out really farther than any other one. Well, the motor deal.
We talked to Ken earlier in the show, and you know, like I said, with 45 cars, no qualifying, but we did the heat races up. And Jack had asked me, you know, did any cars that should have made the field not made the field? And I said, well, actually, what happened was there was a bunch of cars that should have made the field that couldn't because of the quality of and the caliber of drivers there.
Right. It was a good race. I mean, but you know, I mean, it's been the caliber of that all over the race, and I mean, it's really stepped up and it makes for good racing all around.
You know, what really impresses me with racing in the last couple of years is how the dirt late models have just come to the top of the pack.
Well, it's so exciting to watch and to be a part of, you know. You can race, and it's just such good racing, you know what I mean? And to be a part of that is just awesome.
What do you think? We're going to talk to Wayne Anderson here in a little bit, and he was just up at the Rattler on the asphalt, came in second, and he's over there right now picking up his dirt car. What do you think of that?
I think it's awesome. The more the merrier. It's going to be great to race against somebody of his caliber.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those guys around Florida that have been racing on the hard stuff for a while are getting dirt cars. So
there's no doubt what he's going to do. He's going to be a class act. He'll win, you know.
Be a front runner anyway, that's for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, and, you know, this series is going to some great racetracks.
Yes, they are. I mean, everybody's starting to pay some money, and, you know, it makes it so you can go back, and, it's awesome. I mean, you can go and have a good time, and you can even – it's not just the first place. I mean, they're paying back through, and the guys can afford to race a little bit too. And this is all along with what guys needed to do, you know. I mean, that's the most important thing. You got to be able to go back to the track, you know. And if you can keep going back, I mean, it's going to make for good racing for the fans.
Now, you were talking a little bit earlier about the three motor deal in Ken's deal. What motor are you running?
I got a National Late Model motor in mine.
What type of motor is that for people who don't understand?
More or less a bow tie head motor, flat top. It's probably, you know, right around 500 horse. Then they got an aluminum head motor that the Tampa Bays are running, 23 degree head. I think they probably got 75 more horse, and then of course they got the crate motor deal that's a little bit under our class. Each class, I think there's probably like a 100-pound weight penalty on each deal, which really, you know, never here nor there, it's not going to make that much of a difference.
Well, Ken had talked in the driver's meeting about some tracks were going to be better for some of the cars, and
yep,
some of the other cars are going to be better at the other tracks. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's what they told me. They think that some better for some, but you know, I think it all gets down to this right here. I think who works on their car, who takes the time, and who lives and breathes it is going to be the front runners no matter what. You know, and I mean, you know yourself, you got to have dedication. If you don't have the dedication, you're not going to be up front.
And that paid off Friday night, that's for sure.
Yeah, it has for us so far.
So now what will you be doing? Where will people be able to see Shane Williams during 2008? What's your deal for this year?
We're going to run, I think I'm going to run Ken Kenny's deal, run over just as much as I can, far as, you know, just as many races as I can, and, you know, go from race to race. We're kind of running out of our pocket, so we don't really have any sponsors. Mills Brothers and stuff like that, and Wells Brothers, they kind of helped us a lot with money, and that's been a big help for us.
Well, you keep putting on the shows that you've been putting on here lately. I'm sure that somebody's going to be paying attention to you.
Yeah, come on, man. Let's
no doubt.
I think, really.
Well, we're hoping, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You can stick that Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Month on the side of your car, too.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. I'll tell you, now you've raced the National Dirt Late Model Series. Is that an expensive operation to run, the whole deal?
It's very expensive. I mean, to get up and get your car, I mean, you're going to spend, you know, $500-$600 in tires. You got, you know, your $200 in gas, entry fees, and just getting to the track, you know, it's just you end up spending $2,500, $2,000 time you get there and run the thing.
That's got to make Ken's deal that much more attractive to you, being, you know, located mostly in Florida and South Georgia and a little bit of Alabama.
Too is an awesome deal, too. You know, when you show up there and run one day shows, it's pretty awesome. You know?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
The whole deal is you got to save money and you try to, you know, racing going. Not only that, you know, I raced the other night at Ocala. We was able to load up and come home, work on the car, and we went to Brunswick and run. So,
what chassis do you run?
It was actually a Rayburn. We redid it, and we're kind of building our own chassis now. Dirty Boy chassis, we call them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we see those.
Good deal.
We're getting that together, and it's just kind of our own deal. I mean, it's working out good for us.
You know,
based off of Rayburn.
Yeah, Rick and I and myself and like Scott McAllister, the announcer up at, you know, we've been around this deal and covering it from the media's perspective. There's a bunch of us that, you know, we've been to a lot of dirt races, but, you know, we really haven't got it figured out yet, you know, so it's a lot of this stuff's pretty new to us, and it's amazing. Like Scott went down to announce down at East Bay in the Winter Nationals. He'd never announced dirt before, and people were giving him grief because he said the wrong chassis that a guy was driving. I mean, people take this stuff seriously, so we're trying to figure out, like, okay,
yeah, they do take it pretty seriously.
What chassis do you run, and like, what are the politics here, man? Like, yeah. What's the deal?
I mean, yeah, I don't get too excited. I mean, I buy all my own chassis and stuff like that. So if anyone come over and give me something, we'll start worrying about it then. You know what I'm saying? As far as
chassis. Gotcha.
I do know up in Arkansas they all run GRTs.
That's right. They all run GRTs out in Arkansas. We're learning that.
Yep.
What the other thing that we're asking drivers is, what's the deal now with, okay, so when you're coming off the turn two, say, and you're going down the back straight, fans can all see in a lot of cases the guy's got them wheels up off that left front wheels up off the ground. Now, we've had people tell us that that's a good thing. We've had drivers tell us they want all four on the ground.
I like to have all four of mine on the ground because it seemed like you're going faster that way, but I don't know. I mean, either way, it's just, hey, whatever it takes to win.
What most of us have told us is when that fourth wheel hits the ground after going down the backstretch, that's the most turbulence you'll ever feel in a race car.
It is something else, that's for sure.
Well, Shane, anybody you got to thank, brother?
Just everybody that's helped me get as far as we had this year. Wells Brothers, they did a super job with us. Stanton Mills, Byron Corey for the race motors. He's helped us out on race motors. Just everybody. You know, they've helped us out tremendous. Dylan Wood, his dad, Todd Woods, has helped us out tremendous. And just everybody that's helped us get where we're at right now. Just thanks.
Well, we want to congratulate you on your big win Friday night at Ocala, and also congratulations on being our driver of the month. We'll get that plaque to you very soon.
Yeah, I'll get with you later and get your address. We'll get that off to you, man. And thank you very much for.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, coming on with us. We appreciate it, man. Shane Williams, we'll talk to you soon, man.
Right. See you at Hendry County this weekend, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right, Shane Williams, man. What a class act, man. The guy. You know, he won that race, big race. You know, a lot of people be jumping up and down on their cars.
He's pretty laid back, wasn't he?
He was laid back. He was laid back. You heard that in the Winner's Circle interview. I think I was more excited than he was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good thing you didn't have Scott down there. He let you go down and do that.
Yeah, he let me go down there because it was a pain in the ass getting over that fence.
That's right. I went
I didn't
down
see
there.
You out there taking pictures.
Nope, I knew I had Rick Warren out there covering our butt there. We weren't going to climb over that wall.
Mike's
going
to have to fix that for next time we get out there.
That's tough on us old men.
I'm telling you.
But Shane Williams, what a great deal. That was
Inside Florida Racing's Driver of the Month, Shane Williams. Man.
Yep. Pandora Jewelers.
Pandora Jewelers.
Yeah, that's the deal. So, tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We got still on tap. We have Wayne Anderson, and he's up there. He's somewhere at a race shop picking up a dirt late model, I think, right now. And then we still have Joe Lineberrier from Trackside Tonight and Jacob Gady, fastest man in a stock car at Bristol.
We're moving right along. Whew.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Okay, Real Racing USA live back on the airwaves. Great, great, great talking to Shane Williams. This guy, you get a chance to see this guy race. You need to make your way out there. Jack, what's that phone number? Do you have that phone number for Ken Kenny real quick?
863-673-673-4325. Rick, now I got something I got to take care of, and I want you to tell everybody all about, because a lot of people don't know who Bubba the Love Sponge is. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. If they don't radio deal, I mean, a lot of people don't know who that dude is. Talk about Bubba for a minute, because I got something coming up on that.
Okay. Bubba the Love Sponge is the DJ here in Tampa Bay. A lot of you may have heard of him because he got national exposure, because he was a DJ down here in Tampa who got thrown off the airwaves. Clear Channel threw him under the bus, basically, because somebody cried about what he was saying. Now, he is on the edge. He is edgy. No more than a lot of these other shock jocks are out there, but he garnered the highest fines of any DJ ever, and he was thrown off the airwaves by Clear Channel, picked up by Howard Stern, did a lot of, I believe XM radio or Sirius radio, whatever it was, and had his own show. So, the thing about Bubba the Love Sponge is that we met Bubba when he was in a limited late model at East Bay Raceway Park. He weighed about 450 pounds, and then he climbed into a sprint car, and he made an impression with us at the sprint car.
Absolutely, he was very good.
He was very good in it. Now he's with the Nosbishes.
He has been promoting the living hell out of the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series at Clewiston's Henry County Motor Speedway,
good
whatever.
Deal.
He will be there to race
good
this Saturday night with Ken Kenny.
Good, I'll get to
Ken
talk to
forgot
him
to tell us that.
Yeah, well, good. Bubba Clem.
Yeah. Bubba Clem.
Bubba Clem ran for sheriff.
That's right.
Ran for sheriff. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Was going to bury us one time.
All right. So us, meanwhile, we'll come back to that in a little bit. Meanwhile,
all right.
We were able to track down Wayne Anderson. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Wayne. Great showing up there at the Rattler, brother.
Yeah, I had a really, really good run.
Well, now, what quality of cars did you have up there? It looked like it was a great field.
Yeah, they had a lot of good cars there. Only one, I think, from Florida that was up there with me was Jeff Chiquette.
Yeah, that's that Rattler, though, that's always a tough race, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. It's 250 laps. They really try hard there to please you, and they've put new pavement down, and they keep doing upgrades. It's a nice place to go to.
Now, I've talked to Augie Grill before, and he said if you leave that track with your fenders on, you've done something.
Yeah, I left there with just a crack in my left front fender, so I ought to be proud then, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should.
That's cool. Yeah.
Wayne, your next venture in racing is the dirt late model, brother.
Actually, I'm right here. I'm in Spartanburg, South Carolina right now at Barry Wright's shop. We're going to leave tomorrow morning. Our dirt car is all done.
So, all right.
So where are we debuting that car, brother?
I don't know. I got to get me a little bit of seat time, I think, before I get out in public and look like a fool.
Well, we were just talking with Shane Williams, who won the Ocala race down there. And, of course, Rick and Scott McAllister were broadcasting the race down there, you know, and announcing it. And we just got off the phone with Shane, and he said you'll be a front runner.
I hope so. It's just never sitting in one. It's just hard to tell. I'm looking forward to having a little bit of fun. That's the main thing.
Have you ever been on a dirt track in anything?
Never.
Never. Now your dad does some dirt racing, didn't he?
Yeah, he did a little bit of dirt racing, I think, in the mid-70s.
That was a whole different ball game than what it is now.
Yeah. But, so, really, really looking forward to it. And like I say, it's just a new adventure for the Airframe team. And I don't know. Real, really excited. I had a great weekend up at Op. And it was, it's a little different up there. They don't allow them Florida spec motors. And it's a whole different ball game up there. I feel like you're teched really hard, and you're competing on a level playing field.
You know, there's one thing about it, Wayne. You know, when you get up there in that panhandle and start heading west, the tech just seems to get harder and harder.
It sure does. It ain't like it is kind of in Florida, but what's really got it messed up is you can't run none of the McGonagall spec motors up here or the Hamner spec motor in Florida. And up here, you can't up there. You can't run the Florida spec motor. So it's really messed up right now. But I'm hoping in the near future, everybody will get there.
Oh, so they're basically mixed up. So you can't run one with the other. You got to have a motor for each if you want to run.
Right. The Florida spec motor is way out of whack right now. They don't have no chip. There's three spec motors in the United States running. And two of them are on a chip, and the one in Florida doesn't have a chip, so it's a whole different ball game.
Well, I talked to it's interesting you brought that up, because I talked to three different people, three different teams, you know, this past week, past 10 days, and they were all three going talking. I mean, about what you were just saying, like how the problem in the whole deal in Florida is like it's just not there's no tech.
Yeah, I don't want to say there's no tech. They're trying. I just think the tech officials have their hands tied.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
And that's how I want to call it. And it's really a shame. You come from the World Series of asphalt racing, where everybody in the country tries to come and run, and they're basically out to lunch if they don't have a Florida spec motor. And it's really, I think it's going to put a big crimp on the late model racing at New Smyrna next year at Speed Weeks.
What is the biggest difference? Is there a bigger difference beside the chip with the Florida spec motor, Wayne?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever looked at one to know what it's supposed to have. I really can't tell you, to be honest with you. I don't really know myself, but it's just the motor's down. The Florida motor can turn 8,000, 8,200, and all the other ones have to run 7,200 or 7,600 chips. And they're just not the 9-to-1s you have, the 18-degree, the 23-degree, your steelhead 750 motors. Nothing compares to the Florida spec motor right now. And if you got anything but that, you're obsolete.
So the sun. Go ahead.
Well, basically, you might as well stay home. If you don't have a Florida spec motor when you go to a race at New Smyrna or Lakeland, you're just wasting your time.
So in the Sun Belt Series, if you're on a half-mile track, you better have one.
You better have one. Or stay home.
You're just out to lunch if you don't.
So it's got me where I stay home. I go to Op, Alabama, Pensacola, Mobile. I'll be up here racing because it's just I think the spec motor in Florida is just way out of line.
Is it a higher priced motor?
No, it's I think it's it's right, the price of the motors is in line with the other spec motors. The problem you have, though, is if you have a team that's probably got $100,000 worth of motors sitting there, they're obsolete, they're boat anchors. So that's where I see the problem. Instead of building a spec motor that's comparable, they built one that obsolete everything. And it's a shame because I think it's going to put a hurting on Florida racing.
No doubt about it. That's what do you think it's going to take to change that, Wayne? Is it the track owners, the promoters, what?
I don't know. I think it's got to start with the promoters, and then it's got to go to the track owners. And it's hard to sit here and say and call any one person out, but you know, it's just I think it's put a hamper. Instead of having something that was comparable, you got something that if you don't have it, you might as well stay home. And that's a shame because we're, you know, in my race shop, I'm sitting with everything but a spec motor for Florida. And it's not that we can't go get one. We can go do that. Hell, we got dirt cars and we got four late models. That's not the problem. It's the problem of who's building it and who's overseeing it. And I just don't see where I think they're out of line right now.
So what happens at the Snowball?
Snowball is the Florida motor stays home. You can't run it up there. And you can run anything you got other than a Florida spec motor.
Okay, so like for instance, when you guys run, like when Chilcat runs up there at the Snowball, he runs a different motor than he runs in the Sunbelt, then, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay,
just
gotcha.
To show you here, Chilcat just made everybody look like fools at Speed Week. I mean, here he was an absolutely great race car, and he's a good driver, and he made everybody look like fools at New Smyrna. He comes to Op, and I think he qualified in the teens or 20s, and he got lapped in the race. And he didn't, you know, he didn't have a spec motor. He had a Ford. I think he had a Ford motor like I run. And it's just the spec things have obsoleted a lot of anything you've got in your shop. And it's just it's kind of a shame. Instead of having something that's comparable, the Florida motor just made everything you got obsolete.
Well, we're talking here with Wayne Anderson, and Wayne, I'll tell you, I mean, I'm so glad we have you on because I mean, you bring this stuff to our attention and to light. And to the light of the fans and people out there, because I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, most people don't know this stuff. You know, they don't have a clue.
Well, it's a shame. And like I say, the whole thing of the spec motor, when it started, was the right way. It was the right thing to have. To have a motor that's out there that's not a $28,000 motor, $25,000 or $35,000 motor. Now you got a $15,000, $17,000, $18,000. I don't know the exact number on it, but that was real good for somebody coming in the late models and being able to afford. Like if you blew a motor, it was better off to buy a spec motor. But what they've done is instead of it being comparable, it's way better. So if you don't have one, you know, not only that. Let me add one more thing here. Just like at New Smyrna, we had 9-to-1s, we had steelheads. The spec motor in Florida gets a weight break on top of having a better motor. So it just anybody that come out of state, they basically got their butt handed to them, and it's a shame because I think it's going to put a hurting on Speed Weeks next year.
So basically, the car with a higher horsepower motor got a weight break.
Yep,
that's crazy.
Absolutely, yep. And it showed out. I think a spec motor won every single night at Speed Week, and I just think the motor's over the top. If it was on a chip like the rest of the spec motors in the United States, I think then it would be comparable to what you have, and it wouldn't obsolete what you have in your shop.
That could, you know, that explains why we had to put people from Georgia and Alabama in the North-South race. They were North drivers.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a shame. I mean, I think it had the right approach at the start, and I think it's been mishandled since in the last year and a half, the motors have just really they've been tuning them up, and you can tell at the racetrack now.
So those guys, and not to beat this horse to death, I'm just flabbergasted. You mean so the guys that race who want to race down here, like say in this North-South deal, they're not going to buy one of these motors because they can't race it nowhere else except here.
There you go.
Okay.
So in the race at New Smyrna for, I don't know, $1,200 to win each night, they can't go buy a $15,000, $17,000 motor. And then it's no good after Speed Weeks. So it put a crimp on everything. And you go back and you look through the notes of who won every night at Speed Week in the top motors, I think the guy I helped, Ryan Sieg, ran second one night, a third, a couple fours. We were the highest finishing motor that wasn't a spec motor.
Yeah.
So, it's a shame. I would like to see all the spec motors get in line and each engine builder be able to look at each one. But the way they got it in Florida, only a couple people can even build them. And I just feel like there's no control on them right now. I'm not even 100% sure the tech men that they have for the Sunbelt Series even know what the Florida spec motor is supposed to be. So, you go to somebody, I've heard of people wanting to protest and look at them, and they don't even know what they look at you like you're Chinese, you know?
Yeah.
So I think they've got a problem, a small problem, and it's a shame because I think it's going to put a hurting on damper on racing. And not only that, right now, you know how bad the economy is, and we all need to save our money. And I think it's just I think you're going to see the late model racing in Florida take a hit.
Well, you know, I'm really anxious to see how things as racing gets started in Georgia and North Carolina, and as things move up, north as the weather warms up, to see what the car counts are, because the initial thing down here in Florida for the local tracks. Now, I'm not talking about the Winter National deals or any of that, but the local tracks, the car counts have not been all that good to begin the year here. As a matter of fact,
I wasn't even in town, but I heard the car count at Ocala for their dirt race last week was amazing, and the people in the stands were amazing.
4,000 paid in the grandstands front, plus what was in the pits. I mean, it was wall to wall.
Wall to wall people.
They sold out of every napkin. I mean, they sold out of every bottle of water, every hot dog bun, everything. And you couldn't get near. You had to stand in line for 20 minutes to get anything. The place was mobbed.
Ken Kenny had 45 dirt late models qualifying for a 26-car field.
It's like 39 hobby stocks or whatever. The place was just a mob scene. It was unbelievable.
Well, there you go. That's why Wayne Anderson's got a dirt car, and I think other racers are looking at dirt racing because it's just the late model racing. The promoters have kind of pushed us out, you know, and I think you got to start looking at other options. And for Airframe International and Wayne Anderson Racing, I think the dirt was our next option. Whether I'm going to be any good at it or not, I have no idea, but it was just an avenue I felt like we needed to go down.
Well, you got Bresnahan, you got Pratt, and there's a few others I've heard that are looking at it.
Yeah.
Well, Pratt's
just, you can buy a National Dirt Late Model motor. I think they're $15,000, $16,000. The cars are a lot cheaper. You race for more money, less laps. You don't have to put quite as many tires on. And like I say, when the economy stuff, what looks lucrative, the dirt cars do, you know. And
what?
Like I say, I have no idea how competitive I'm going to be. It's the jury's out on that, but we're just very excited to do something different.
I think you ought to have a press conference on the day that you go out your first time, and I think we ought to sell tickets for just the practice sessions, Wayne.
Yeah, for me to look like a fool, probably. I'm sure if people thought I was going to look like a fool, you'll sell a lot of tickets.
you're probably right, Wayne. I mean, that's just the way it is, man. You got, but come
I'll tell you what,
you got a lot of fans out there. You know it, man.
Yeah, I know, and like I say, we're real excited, and it's just a new adventure for us, and I'm looking forward to it. And there's a lot of talented dirt racers that many people don't know them by name, but there's a lot out there, and I'm sure it's going to be a tough road to hoe for us. And,
yeah,
I feel like I'm up to the challenge, and I'm looking forward to it.
Shane Williams has confidence that you're going to be a front runner.
That's right.
Well, I take that, and that's a compliment, and I take that, and that just makes me feel respected coming over to dirt. Like I say, I don't think I'm going to be blowing nobody off by no means, I'll have my hands full, and it's just a challenge. After 22 years of racing, I feel like I've won every major short track race there is in this country, and I feel like I have nothing more to prove. Still enjoy it, still love racing asphalt, and look forward to it. But I think right now with the economy, the dirt is the way to go.
22 years, huh?
22 years.
You have five more years than Brett Favre did, man.
Well,
I guarantee you, I don't have Brett Favre's checkbook.
So before you go, Wayne, tell us about your guy there, Shane Sieg.
Shane, well, I helped him through Speed Weeks. It was actually Ryan Sieg, and I told.
Oh, Ryan Sieg. I'm sorry.
It was Ryan. They're both brothers. Shane's been running the Craftsman truck, and I told him that after Speed Weeks, I was going to go back to doing my own racing. We have so much to do. There's so many good races out there, and plus the dirt thing that I just don't really have the time. And that was great to end. You know, I kind of ended my relationship with him, not in any bad way any whatsoever, but at least we left Speed Weeks with our heads held high, and he ran extremely well. And I don't think he hardly put a scratch on his car for 9 nights. So very excited for them, and they got they ran. I think Shane drove one of the cars this weekend and finished fifth up at Op. So. They're running good. And they'll do well on their own. And it was just time for me to do some racing with for myself. And I just wanted to take some time off and do this dirt thing and go race where I feel like the competition is well checked and you can't get by with nothing. And I just feel like it was a move I needed to make.
All right, Wayne. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us here on Real Racing USA. We'll see you at the track. And thank you very much.
Hey, thank you guys for the time.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
All right.
I tell you what,
Wayne Anderson.
He's always got something. We learn something every time
always.
We talk to
always,
Wayne.
Man.
And I am really, really looking forward to seeing him on dirt because, like Shane Williams said, I have no doubt in my mind this guy, by the second or third race, is going to be wheels up running for the front spot. And I'm just looking forward to seeing the old number 84 out there on the dirt, man. Dickie,
he ran any other way.
He ran dirt for a little while, but like I said, that was a whole different deal back in that day.
All right, I'll tell you what, Rick. We always got to find experts, right? We always have to find people who know a whole hell of a lot more about all this than we do. And we got one of those people on the line, Joe Lineberrier from Trackside Tonight in Volusia Speedway Park. Joe, welcome to Real Racing USA, and I got to ask you right off the bat. We just got off the phone with Wayne Anderson. We had him on here, and he followed Shane Williams. And what do you think? Wayne is up in Spartanburg, South Carolina, right this minute, picked up his dirt car heading south. What do you think his chances are of being a success on dirt?
There's no doubt that, I mean, first of all, you guys, I'm honored to be on the program, but you are interrupting American Idol, so let me just walk outside here.
We do that on purpose, Joe.
We do that on purpose, Joe. Didn't you know that?
You do.
We take on the best, man.
It's terrible TV, and I should pull myself away, but it's really a pleasure to be with you guys.
We hear that complaint. We hear that complaint more often than you can imagine.
I hear you. Hey, listen, I mean, Wayne Anderson, what can you say? I mean, there's no doubt about it. Here's a guy, no spring chicken by no stretch of the imagination, but he's won so much, and his success is just so popular throughout Florida. I mean, he's Florida's son, of late model racing. And when a guy like that puts his mind to, trying his hand on dirt when he's never done it before to speak of, you got to think. I mean, certainly with the financial investment, he's going to buy the right car. He's going to buy the right power. He's going to have everything he needs. And I'll tell you, I mean, I think everybody, I don't think anybody would be surprised to see Wayne Anderson just come out of the box just on fire and winning races, certainly at Ocala. I mean, a track where he grew up, no doubt.
Yeah, amazing. So what have you guys been doing over at Trackside Tonight the last few weeks? I know you've been covering stuff from, you had everything going on over at Volusia.
Yeah, Randy Dye, myself, and Billy Osborne, I mean, just have a great time on that program. And we just put 11 nights in the books out at Volusia, so we were unable to do two of those because 1150 WNDB, being an MRN affiliate, we kind of get preempted with some of the live programming that they pull in, for MRN broadcasts throughout Speed Weeks. But we just came back 2 weeks ago, and it's just been wonderful. I mean, and that program is unique, Jack, because not only do, we talk about, NASCAR, which I feel, and you guys know how I feel about it, it's really saturated. You can get that information anywhere, but like yourselves, we really like to highlight the local drivers, the local tracks, and the local interest. I kind of like to, expand out with Billy and Randy and try to talk about some of the open wheel stuff as far as the, Formula One kart, champ car, and They don't really care for that.
You're right.
They'll tell you. They kind of make fun of me, but
Billy's not very opinionated, is he?
Oh, gosh, no. He called last night, actually, from he was up in Tennessee, and unfortunately I was up there. I was unable to get to Ocala, but he was gracious enough to call us from Tennessee. He's home now, but he did, you know, give us the full update on Ocala and just his observations of that event out there. But, you know, we cover everything on that program, and that's what makes it so unique. And there's really, you guys know, you want to start with a direction. You want to try to say, okay, you know, Rick, here's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's really try to hit this. Let's get these callers. You know, as much as we try to structure it, never happens.
No, Joe, that's what you guys do. See, you guys are pros. We don't have a clue where we're going.
If you'd have been sitting in this studio tonight when we were getting ready for this show,
if it was tape recorded, I'll tell you what, it would have been good television.
Yeah.
Listen, if it wasn't for Dirt Late Model, which I get monthly from Three Wide Media, they give me a subscription to that during Speed Weeks. If it wasn't for that and National Ski Sport News, they're under my arm. I walk into the station. Billy's got a bag of M&Ms or caramels or. He's got Cokes. We got candy laid out all over. Randy walks in like five after. There we go. And we have a great doing, man. It's just a wonderful program.
And the thing is, Joe, is you love it. That's why we do it. We love it.
You're right. And it's time we get to spend together. And, you know, Randy, let's be honest. You guys have had him on the program. Wonderful guy. But he likes to hear himself talk. And what he'll do, he'll spend all night just talking and talking and talking. And we just look at him. Sometimes we're reading. Sometimes we're doing something else. But, yeah, he likes
to hear himself. We have Bill Green.
We have
so
our
we
Bill
know.
Green. Yeah, we have our. I tell you what, Joe, I have to tip my hat to you. I did something this past weekend that I've never done that you do all the time, and I called my first Dirt Late Model race up there at Ocala. And I'm going to tell you what, I was wore out after it was over.
Are you hooked now, Rick?
I am hooked, brother.
And you know what it's like out there. But to see, you know, Ocala transform back to what it started as, I don't know if you were able to go years ago, but to see it, you know, back to its original state, it had to be exciting. It's one that I certainly wanted to make. I was unable to do that. I was gone, like I said. But, man, and I'm, you know, just talking to Billy, he told me just how neat it was and just how many cars, how many people were there. Ken Kenny's late model deal, obviously. The opening show of that was good. But, you know, I think you're going to see the track succeed. Now, certainly we can all know realistically that, you know, they're not going to be parking all the way out to 326 every weekend. But, I mean, to fill those stands up like he did, I think it's wonderful. It really is. But I think they're going to settle into their own. They're going to make adjustments as far as the surface goes, you know, make the proper personnel adjustments. And with you being on board, Rick, I'm sure that was exciting.
No. Oh, it was a blast. I'm working with Ken Kenny now, and I get to go travel with his series. And like I said, man, that those dirt late miles, you know, the last 10 laps with Ivan Lloyd and Shane Williams just battling it out side by side, it was just it was a thrill, man. The hair on the back of my neck was standing up.
Rick, these are two guys that started at Volusia, so to speak. Ivan Lloyd, I mean, obviously a six-time National Late Model Series champion with Ray Miller. Now, of course, with the Southern All-Stars, his success there, a two-time champion in that deal. But Ivan and Lloyd, it's very common to see Ivy come to our track. I mean, each year, sometimes, you know, twice a month if the Southern All-Stars aren't running. And of course, you had Shane Williams on, which, you know, I got to tell you, Jack, I've been reading the Pandora Jewelers program there, and I was actually going to suggest for my vote to be Shane Williams, but I heard you guys earlier, you chose him. What a great pick. I mean,
yeah.
Shane has been out at Volusia Speedway Park for 10 years. I've seen Shane win races in a mini stock, a hobby stock, a street stock, a late model, a modified. They call him the Dirty Boy. And I'll tell you what, man, anything you put this guy in, he's able to win races. And I got to tell you, that the Monday night show you guys were talking about, Trackside Tonight, we had him on right after the National Late Model Series win up at Golden Isles. Shane is incredible, and this is a guy to certainly keep your eye on. And again, Shane's not the youngest guy out there either, but I think he's found his niche on dirt, there's no doubt.
I had no doubt for my vote for Driver of the Month because, I mean, three out of four races up there at Golden Isles, the big race at North Florida, and the show that he put on, you know, he started from the sixth spot in that race Friday night, and it was a never-give-up thing. You know, Ivan didn't got by him, but he never gave up. He came right back and at the end of the race, it was just checking out.
But he's phenomenal. I mean, anything you put him in. And you know, you talked about the Golden Isles success that he had up here in the winter up there in Georgia. You know, he actually was racing his sportsman style car with Ray Miller's deal. He wanted to race in that crate race so bad, they actually put a crate motor in that thing and went out racing. So he was able to get a motor down there or up there, get the motor installed and, you know, same car, and he just raced it with a crate motor. I'll do anything. He'll do anything. And that's what's so cool about Shane.
Well, I'll tell you, it's. I hope it gets easier in March and April and May to pick the winner of this thing.
It's been tough.
I mean, though.
Listen, I think it will. And you know, let's just talk a minute about the state of motorsports in Central Florida or in the state. I mean, you look at the economy, and no better person to tell you how bad it is than a driver. I mean, here's the guy with the most investment. You know, whether it's the owner, the driver, everybody involved. But I'll tell you, I think Mike Peters proved that this is what people want to see. I mean, and you guys, I've been saying it for just several years now, dirt is healthy. You know, with Don Nerone buying Columbia Motorsports Park, the half-mile asphalt from Fast Car, I think that's a wonderful thing. They had a big night out there. We talked about Monday. But, you know, dirt, it's where it's at. And I just can't stress that enough to people. And some people say, oh, man, I just like asphalt. Go to a dirt race. And Rick, I think you got to agree. You went to that thing. You worked it. You were part of the integral component of that event. You're hooked forever. It's just amazing. And one thing I've just never understood is why, and this is probably best day for another show, you guys, but why dirt pays so much more than asphalt.
Well, we started looking at that. We were talking about that 6, 7, 8, 9 years
Stan
ago.
Stan Cullen days.
Yeah, back with Stan Cullen days. I mean, we used to have these long conversations with many of us, you know, in the media and stuff, and what is the deal? And we would ask people all, when we started doing radio and talking to people all over the country, we're asking these questions.
Yeah.
And for my personal, you know, and it was really, I was asking the question because I just really wanted to understand it. Because, you know, I look at all this stuff from a marketing public relations perspective, and I'm trying to figure it out. What's in people's heads, you know? Well, I think I've got it, for me, I've got it figured out for me.
What is it? Because I
have. Well, it's this, and check it out. I mean, the people today, in today's world in America, have a very short attention span. Things move fast. Everybody is, multitasking isn't something somebody does, it's something everybody does.
Yeah.
My mother's 80 years old and she multitasks, you know, it's just part of our whole deal now. And when you go to a dirt late model race or a dirt sprint race, there ain't no time to think about nothing, man.
And you're not sitting there for 100 laps,
no,
125 laps.
You ain't got time to think about what you're doing tomorrow at the office because it's right there in front of you, man.
Yeah, right down to, you know, how many caution laps you run. You come to Volusia, you guys, and you've been there. I mean, you see, you know, Billy on the flag stand. Once they pull out, the next event pulls out from turn one, those lights are off. And if you're not ready to go, then you're going to get left behind. We're racing. And I think, you know, getting back to Mike and just what needs to happen at Ocala, I mean, these are things you have to pound.
Uh-oh.
Cell phone
drop.
Uh-oh. We're going to get Joe back here in just a second.
Okay. There he is.
Do we have Joe? Yeah. There you go.
It was an alien grab. I just got
It was an asphalt ghost.
But, I mean, just getting back to the caution lights, you know, these guys need to be, you know, you need to pound it in their mind. This is what's going to happen. We're going racing. And the only complaint that we get at Volusia is people come up and say, man, I didn't even have time to go to the bathroom. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
That's right.
Absolutely. And, you know, talking about the money, we kick off March 15th. It's our opening night. Now we're UMP sanctioned, and we're excited about that. And, I mean, we're going to pay $1,500 for a late model race. I mean, that's our opening late model event. We're going to have the modifieds, pro stocks, which used to be our street stocks. And now, of course, the street stocks have turned into the hobbies have turned into the street stocks, but we still have the mini stocks, pure stocks, and we are going to make up the winter warm-up that has been washed out a couple of times. That's twin 40 lappers for the pro stocks and the street stocks. Those both paying $2,500. So, I mean, we're pretty excited about that.
Now, how long have you been at Volusia?
And it's going on. It was 1994 when I started.
Oh, so you were there through the previous administration.
You worked for Dickie Effin Murphy.
Right after Dick Murphy sold the place. I worked for a guy named Steve Roth. His wife owned it, and, you know, they decided, hey, let's make this dirt track asphalt, and let's go ahead and build a dirt track next door. They did that, and it was successful. the neatest thing about that, you guys, was the fact that during the Winter Nationals, the Dirt Car Nationals now, you could actually, for one ticket, one price, walk track to track. You could see the World of Outlaws, and then you could walk over and see the ISMA Super Modified. I mean, how cool was that?
And who was the owner?
His name was Steve Ross. And
Steve Ross.
Yeah, he was unable, and he's still around the Volusia County area, you know, still working, but Steve was unable to maintain financially. Dick Murphy got the track back, and
I'll never forget the first time I met Dick Murphy.
Who was responsible for the red carpet
in his office?
Red carpet. Oh, that's Dicky, man. Come on.
Wald, I tell people about that. I walked into that office, and there's this huge mahogany desk with this guy sitting behind it, and you'd think you just walked into Elvis's office.
I'm telling you.
And if he ain't calling you an a-hole, then you're not as...
Well, we were buddies right off, man. We knew how to talk the talk.
You will be. And, you know, the neatest thing about it is, you know, I was out there during the Winston Racing Series days with David Rogers, actually won the 1994 National Championship from Volusia Speedway Park. And I don't know what happened, but once he went back to dirt, some time had passed, but I walked into the bathroom one night, the regular bathroom in the office, and there's a picture of David Rogers standing there holding his trophy. And I said, Dickie, what's with that? He goes, that's where he belongs. I love David. I love David, and so does Dickie. But
yeah,
it's just a great place, and it's full of history. You know, Dale Earnhardt raced there. Jeff Gordon. This is the TNT televised race. It was a Busch race, actually.
Busch race, right.
You guys remember the track came apart? There was a delay. It was just it's neat to be a part of that place. And of course, change is on the horizon, as it has been over the last several years since Dickie finally retired.
Now, he sold it to Dirt Motorsports. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Dirt Motorsports now is, of course, called World Racing Group. And the neat thing about this conglomerate, that I like to call them, is, I mean, they are a corporation, but they own 6 racetracks around the country.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of those, of course, Volusia, Lernerville. They own Rolling Wheels, several tracks up in upstate New York. And they own just about every sanctioning body worth anything. World of Outlaws Late Models, World of Outlaws Sprint Cars, UMP Dirt Car, Mid-America Racing States, Advanced Auto Parts, Super Dirt Car Series. Those are the big blocks. I mean, it's never been done before. And they're succeeding in owning these sanctioning bodies as well as racetracks. And
they're the NASCAR of dirt?
You know,
I mean, is it like on that level of...
Say that.
Huh?
You could really say that.
Yeah.
That's a great correlation right there. No
you say World of Outlaws, I mean, everybody knows where that's going.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's nothing better. That's the biggest game in town, the World of Outlaws Sprint Cars. Now, the late models, they've had great success. They're in their 5th year, and, you know, they've still got Billy Moyer, Chubb Frank. They got these guys on board, and it's pretty exciting to watch them. But, you know, they've gone through changes as well. I mean, let's face it, late model racing is exciting, and I think some other series such as Lucas, the Lucas Oil Series, Southern All-Stars, and, you know, there's a handful of them that have actually come, and they're ready to go toe-to-toe with them. So I think the late model division in the World of Outlaws, I think they really need to step it up, but I think they're going to be fine this year.
Yeah, and you got Ken Kenny's deal, man. Watch that.
Yeah, you know, and talking about the late model racing, we've hosted the National Late Model Series, Ray Miller's deal. They consider Volusia their home track. I mean, we're going on over 20 years of history with these guys, and Ray Miller continues to bring most of these drivers from the north and south of Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and certainly a lot in Florida, but we're excited. I mean, we're going to host them again in September, and, you know, we're kind of keeping an eye on Ken's deal. I think it's exciting. I think it's something that Florida needed to happen, and I certainly look forward to perhaps hosting them guys at Volusia sometime soon.
Maybe I'll get to come up there and yell on the microphone with you, Joe.
That'd be a pleasure. It really would be a pleasure.
Do you yell like that too, Joe?
What's that?
Do you yell like that too? You get excited?
I try to say I don't, and it's hard because you start screaming and there goes your quality out the window and people just start looking at me, and it's just, I can't help it. Let me tell you guys, we just did 11 nights for the All-Field Dirt Car Nationals, and I always say, all right, this year I'm going to pace myself. Okay, you know, because in the past, you guys, I'd lose my voice the third night, and I'm done.
Yeah.
Now I'm useless as an announcer. You've ruined your tool, so to speak. So, you know, trying to take care of the instrument, and I always say, I'm going to pace myself. I got to make it work. Never happens. Never happens. I think I made it through, like, 6 nights, and then I was not worth a crap. And people say, wow, Joe, you know, you did better this year than last year. So it's hard, Rick. You're going to see. I mean, when you got that passion and you just see what's happening on the racetrack, it's just amazing what comes out of me. I just start just it's I can't even explain.
I was up there watching. I was standing up there watching. Of course, we were broadcasting it live over their call live over Real Racing USA, and I was up there watching him and Scott McAllister going at it. And about once every 15 minutes, Scott's got to go outside and have a drink of water and get a cigarette. And Rick's like turning around, choking, turning blue, drinking water. You know, I mean,
you'll learn to pace yourself a little though, Rick.
Yeah, I get it.
It's cool. It's exciting. And,
oh, it's a blast.
And they tell me we've got some people that take care of the restrooms. It's a group of, it's a family actually from Yalaha, which is over near Lake County. And his name is Chris Graham. And he came up to me, gosh, I guess it was one of the nights during the Dirt Car National. He said, you know, Joe, man, you make these people excited to go to the bathroom.
That's right. That's cool, Joe.
And I'm just taking care of them. Like, hey, you know, tip them, everybody.
So, you know, the only thing wrong with the whole deal with Speed Weeks and or Winter National Weeks of February, the only thing wrong with February is there's just not enough time to take it all in, Joe. There's so much that goes on, man. It's just
there's not. But, you know, look how blessed we are in Florida. I mean, show me or tell me another state that we do down here in Florida. And a lot of this is because of the weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're blessed to be able to provide this kind of racing. You know, I pray for rainouts during our events so I can go to East Bay. So I can go to New Smyrna. Billy and I have stood at New Smyrna in the afternoon watching practice for the Tour Type Modifieds, you know, and just trying to take in as much as you can. But we're blessed, and there's no other place I'd rather be announcing or being involved in motorsports than this state.
All right.
No doubt about
now,
it.
On, you do trackside tonight. That's on every Monday night, 8 to 9. And what's the call letters again?
It's 1150 WNDB. It's yep. News Talk, and it's an MRN affiliate. And, Jack, you can just reiterate to all the listeners that we are trying to work out the fact that, you know, hopefully in the near future you will be able to hear that live on RealRacingUSA.com. But for the meantime, you know, we archive it, and, of course, everybody can go to it as soon as it gets sent to you. So.
Oh, wait, you know what? Well, I haven't told you this, but we actually have figured out the technical part of that. We just have to implement it. Yeah, as a matter of fact, see, you just reminded me. It's like that. I'd forgotten all about it. We have actually figured that whole deal out, so we can do that. And
excellent.
Yeah. So that's.
Hey, real quick, Rick. What is Ocala's schedule? I mean, what did you guys find out? And Jack, what is their schedule? Do they race again Friday night?
Yeah
Friday nights all year.
So they've started. I mean,
modified. They're running a big modified show this Friday night.
And at OcalaSpeedway.com, they have their schedule on there, and they are starting. I think they got modifieds this coming week. Yeah.
Gotcha. And I think this is great. You're going to see not only, you know, the marriage of Ocala and Volusia with the same type cars. I mean, realistically, they're completely different racetracks, but I don't think that major changes have to happen to these race cars to have a guy race Ocala Friday night, Volusia Saturday night. I think this is just it's healthy for Florida motorsports and dirt racing, and I just hope to see a bunch of them guys at Volusia on March 15th.
That's when you start. It's March 15th.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Our website has all been reconstructed. It's really neat, kind of brought into the modern era, so to speak, and directions, information, scheduling information, everything at VolusiaSpeedwayPark.com.
VolusiaSpeedwayPark.
I still miss the opening page with that cartoon of Dickie.
Oh, yeah. Great. Dude, I got a T-shirt. And this is from, 10 years ago, and it says it's got a little cartoon of Dickie, and he's throwing money. Coming out of his little fat fingers, and it says, "God, what does it say? Racing in Florida with the fat man, right on the t-shirt." Awesome, man. We miss him, but I still maintain a business relationship with him, and it's really good to see him.
Well, that's good. That's great, man.
And believe it or not, you guys, he's still very involved with the Speedway.
Well, good.
Different capacities, not only as a fan but an advisor, and he's still around.
Well, that's good to hear.
That's good to hear, man.
Absolutely.
All right, Joe. I'll tell you what, man. We'll let you get back to that big screen.
Idle's over. I got to go ask my wife what happened. Now it's the voting time. I got to go start voting.
We apologize, Joe. We'll talk to you again soon, brother.
It was my pleasure. See you.
All right, Joe. Take it easy, man. He's always fun, man. I like Joe.
That's too funny, man. We got one quick break, and we're coming back right away with the fastest man from Bristol.
In a late model.
In a late model.
Right.
Listening to Racing USA.
the days of old, men would search for wealth untold. They dig for silver and for gold, and leave the empty holes. And way down south in the Everglades, where the black water rolls and the sawgrass waves, the eagles fly and the otters play in the land of the Seminoles. So blow, blow, Seminole wind.
And we are back. Real Racing USA Live, Tuesday night. The place where we compete against the best show on television, Rick.
American Idol.
American Idol.
We've got the biggest stars, though.
We got the biggest stars, that's for sure. Biggest stars in racing, and I'll tell you what. We have with us on the line right now Jacob Gady, who actually is an ASA late model racer. Welcome to the show, Jacob. And tell us what is the little prize that you hold now?
Well, thanks for having me on first off. But last year down in Bristol, we set fast time and on the new surface. And, we're the fastest, got the fastest lap around the place right now. So that's pretty cool.
That includes the trucks, the Hooters Pro Cup, the Craftsman Trucks, the Busch Series, Nationwide Series, the Cup cars.
Yep.
Wow. How fast were you? How fast did you go? What kind of time you set?
It was a 15:36 was the lap. Wide open around the whole place. That was the coolest part.
Was that your first or second lap?
It was my first lap. You know, I was joking around with my dad and stuff before I went down there. I said I was going to hold it wide open in qualifying. And, I was able to do it for my warm-up lap and my first lap on the clock. My second lap, I lifted a little bit. I knew the first one was good, so I wanted to make it around.
Jacob, now when did you know, though, that first time that you went all the way around there with that thing pushing through the floorboard?
Actually, I was able to do it in practice a couple times. We were struggling a little bit with tires down there, and we were messing around with air pressure, and we kept blistering our tires. And the day before, or the Friday in practice, I was able to go wide open for like five laps in a row, but it wasn't any faster than lifting. So, but it turned out it was all due to air pressure. And it was hotter that day, but in qualifying, it was a little bit cooler, and the track had a ton of grip, but the speeds were up, too. And actually, in practice, I went faster than that in practice. I did a 15:20-something, according to their little transponder system. But in qualifying, it was 15:36, which, it was still fast, but not quite as fast as we went in practice.
Now, what was it like being on that Bristol track with those grandstands going nine stories up in the air?
That was something to see. I'd never seen the place before. So just to see it was cool at first. And then I loved the track from the first time I was able to get on it. It was something to see, though, with the grandstands around you the whole way around. it was cool.
Yeah, it's an awesome place. It's one of my favorite racetracks. Now, you had two big wins last year. One of them out there at Rusty Wallace's Iowa Speedway, right?
Yep. That was the first. That's what started off the year, I guess, for us. Kind of. That was real cool. I've never been to that big a track before, so we didn't know what to expect, and we just went because it was kind of closer to home, and went and tried it out, and that was a lot of fun down there, too. That place was extremely fast, and we got the car working good, and it was fun.
I've heard that a lot of people have told me that that probably has one of the best surfaces at any racetrack out there.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it was super smooth and a ton of grip. It was a blast race. And then, I mean, it was grooves everywhere. It wasn't just the bottom or, you know, it was you could race two, three wide if you wanted to, so that made it a lot of fun to race on.
Now, we're based down here in Florida. You're up in Minnesota, right?
Yep, yep.
What a lot of people don't know is Minnesota, Wisconsin, that area up there, that's a late model hotbed.
Yeah, I would say so. There's some of the best competition in the country, I'd say, is up here. So, you know, I wish it would get noticed a little bit more. You know, that's why it's fun to go to some of these other races to kind of compete against people from all over the country and kind of show that, you know, even we can do it from up here. So,
is the sanctioning body up there, WSOTA? Is that a late model sanctioning body, or am I thinking of something else?
WSOTA, I think that would be for the dirt modified.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
But there's some. What is the sanctioning body up there? Is a big one.
We got NASCAR at Elko,
uh-huh,
in Raceway Park, and then we also got ASA for I-94 Raceway.
I got you. Okay.
And U.S. Pros up there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, have you always basically been a crate late model? Have you done any super late model racing?
I mainly did super late racing, actually. That's what most of the tracks are up here, is all the super late model type stuff. And we just did we built a crate motor car actually in 2006, and we only raced it, I think, two or three times. And then last year we did it about a half a dozen times. So actually we normally do race the super late, actually. We just haven't done any bigger series with it. You know, I think the farthest I ever went with the super late has been to Madison, Wisconsin. So,
now, do you run a spec motor in that car?
No, we got a 9-to-1 aluminum headed, fully ported, race engine that we can run. We stick with pretty much a 2-barrel everywhere. We can't put on the 390 most places, but I'd like to go down to Nashville. That would be fun, but, we're going to stick with the crate motor for most of the year this year and, try and run for the Challenge Series Championship is kind of the plan.
So where'd you get your start in racing, Jacob?
Well, I started in quarter midgets, actually. When I was 7 years old, my dad raced before that on dirt. And, when I turned 7 or whatever, we got a quarter midget and been racing ever since then. Did that until I was 15, and then 16, we went right to a late model, and been doing that ever since.
So you're 24 now, right?
23. Right.
23?
Yep.
What do you think about the teenagers running in late models right now?
That's where I started in, too. You know, we were right from quarter midget to late model, but I practiced the full summer in the car before I actually raced it. And I think that really helped, too. But, these kids are teenagers. They're good. I mean, most of them, you know, I have no problem racing with any of them. Most of them have, you know, is a lot of experience since they've been racing since they were 5, most of them. So I have no problem racing with them. And it's good for them, I think.
So you think the late models is a good place for them to start if they're going to try and move up to the big stuff?
Well, you know, I don't know. If you do it right, I think it is. I mean, I'd say it all depends on the driver, kind of. I mean, some kids are probably ready for it sooner than others, but I think a late model is a good stepping stone. On your way up the ladder or whatever, but I think it is a good place to start.
Yeah, you still see Kyle Busch. He came down here in January, ran a late model down here with us in Florida.
Yeah.
They all go back to the roots eventually.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're a fun car to race. I mean, they're light and have good power and usually pretty good tires, so they drive good. They're a racy car, so.
So now this year you're competing for the championship. Are you racing the North or the Challenge division?
We're planning on doing the Challenge division right now.
All right. Well, last week I was talking to Peter Cozzolino, who's an ASA veteran of the old ASA, the original ASA deal, and And now he's been racing the Challenge Division, and of course, in a lot of North races, I guess. We asked him about, you know, the fact that you have a short season in some ways. You don't have, you got 12 races, I guess. And every one of those races is very, very important. He's like, I asked him about the pressure to do good in every one of them if you're going for the championship. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
With such a short season, you don't have the buffer races or your throwaway race or anything. I mean, I haven't competed a full season in it, so I guess we'll wait and see. But I know last year it was nice going to them because we had no pressure. So, I mean, we just showed up at the racetrack and, went for it, I guess. And this year's probably going to be a little different, but, I like to think I can keep the same attitude and, try and not worry about points. If you worry about each race, just try and do the best you can do, the points will fall. You'd like to think that way, but the pressure will, I'm sure, add up as the season, moves along. But I think just got to try not to think about it too much. Each race is equally important, being there's only 12.
Yeah, the other thing that's sweet about it is the quality of the racetracks that you're going to be on, Tri-County, O'Reilly in Indianapolis, Iowa, Berlin, Mansfield, Salem, Bristol, then the Milwaukee Mile. I mean, there's all kinds of people looking at those racetracks.
Yeah, hopefully. And that's kind of why we're going to try and focus on that this year. I think it's kind of the best shot, and hopefully we can – maybe get a little recognition out of it. Last year we ran really well in the few times we did it, with two wins and a second and a fourth in our four Challenge Series races. So if we can keep up like that this year, I think we'll be a strong contender.
Where did you win last year?
We won at Bristol and Newton, Iowa.
Iowa.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Big races.
Where did you qualify in the races that you last year? You finished top five, all of them. Where did you qualify?
Let's see. Bristol, we were fast time. Newton, I was fast time.
There you go.
Milwaukee, I think we were 12th, I think, we out there. And let's see. Nashville was the other one. Nashville, I think we qualified 11th or 12th or something. We just missed the inversion out there, but the first part of the year we qualified really good. The second part of the year, Nashville, I think the weather kind of hurt us. It started cooling down, but at the end of qualifying, I should say, and we went out early, but we had a really good race car everywhere. So,
what did you think when you come through turn four at Bristol and you saw Sean Murphy, losing it?
I couldn't believe it. I was happy, with spending fast time and having the track record. I thought that was pretty cool. I was going to be content with second. I couldn't catch him. I was a few car lengths behind. There's nothing I could do. I was just going to be content with second. And all of a sudden, he went shooting up the track and into the wall, and I just stood on the gas and tried to get out of there before he bounced off the wall or came down the track. And I couldn't believe it. it was exciting, that was for sure.
Santa Claus couldn't have been better to you, huh?
What's that?
I said Santa Claus couldn't have been better to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was unfortunate for him. He had obviously a good race car, and if I had to do it again, I think we could be a little bit better and could have gave him a run for it, but I guess we live and learn, and we got lucky this time, and hopefully next time we won't need the luck, and but we'll see.
Luck and racing, it's all about that, man.
Right.
And who's helping get you to the track? Who are the sponsors and the other folks that are helping get you out there?
Lake Town Electric is the big one that we got. We're actually looking for some more sponsorship for these races. The plan right now is to do the first few and see how it's going, but we could really use some more sponsorship for the future races. But then it's my family is the crew organization that we're going to the racetrack with, but that's okay. Everyone kind of knows what's going on and what their little job is, so we seem to make it work pretty good.
That's cool. And Lake Town Electric is a local business there in your area?
Yeah, yep. He is an electrical contractor up here in Minnesota. He's from my hometown where I went to high school at least. It was kind of a cool deal how we got together. He used to race back in the 60s, so I got to thank him a lot for giving me these opportunities. It's really, really helped out a lot in the past few years.
All right, so you're getting your bags packed and ready to go down to Tri-County.
Yeah.
March 15th.
Yep. The one good thing is I have been down there once. I tested the Waltham car down there a year and a half ago or so. So I at least know what it looks like. We just got to try and make our own car work around it. But I think I have some pretty good ideas, so I'm looking forward to it.
Jacob, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Hopefully we can talk to you at the end of the year and you'll be the champ.
I hope so. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Jacob, you go get them, man, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us here on Real Racing USA.
All right, yeah, thank you guys for having me on, and hopefully we'll be talking to you at the end of the year.
All right, thanks a lot, Jacob. Great kid, man.
Jacob
Great.
Gady.
Yeah, he's going places, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. We talked to a lot of these guys from Wisconsin and Minnesota,
yeah,
and Michigan
kinda.
Up there, those guys that's a hotbed of late model racing.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. Wisconsin, Minnesota, up there in that area. Yeah, that the asphalt late models are booming up there.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's one of them things.
One of them things.
Ooh, you know what that is? That's Danny Toler music.
That's Danny Toler music.
You know what that means?
It's time to go.
It means that people are going to have to wait for my dissertation on competition.
Next week.
I'll script it out a bit.
Oh, that'll be nice.
You know, I've been wanting to talk about this for a while.
I'm not saying nothing about it because I'll cuss.
Yeah. Bottom line is, a lot of people have a lot of misunderstandings about what competition is.
Oh, no doubt.
You know.
Well, they have their own verbiage for it.
Yeah. Verbiage. That's a nice way of saying
yes.
Garbage.
Yeah,
garbage in, garbage out.
No doubt.
But I'll tell you what, we had Dalton Zier on here tonight. We had Ken Kenny on, the promoter of the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Blake Lear, carting with the stars up there in North Carolina, getting ready to go do some late model racing. Shane Williams, the Pandora Jewelers.
Inside Florida Racing Driver of the Month.
Yep.
And Wayne Anderson, of course. Wayne, he's an educator, man.
I'm telling you. Yeah. You had to go with Jacob Getty down that road about spec motors, did you?
I had to ask. I seen that coming, man. And, of course, Joe Leinberger.
Joe, we could spend 2 hours with Joe.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, two hours.
Yeah.
They did this show the other night. Not this Monday night's trackside tonight, but the previous week.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have any guests. They had a few call-ins. Just the three of them, man. Can you imagine? And they have a great show.
Great stuff.
As a matter of fact, as soon as we get out of here, you can listen right here to last night's Trackside Tonight.
All right.
Yeah.
Right on Real Racing USA.
And if you're going to stay up really late, you can listen to last night's Inside Florida Racing.
Which was a good show.
Which is a very good show.
Yeah, they had a really good guest on there last night.
We're out of here.
All right. See you next Tuesday night on Real Racing USA Live.
an ace up your sleeve and a girl.